Jane removed her dress and hung it by the cracked open window. She unlaced her corset and draped it over the drying rack. After washing her face and hands, she moved by her chamber pot and with chapped fingers removed his semen from her like honey over a dipper, and then rinsed herself there as well. The water turned pink. She fastened a rag to the open crotch of her drawers. The pearly buttons, rolling from her pocket into her hand, reminded her of Tom, his bulk on all fours, gathering them from the corners and dusty baseboards in the washroom, him kneeling as his thick fingers dropped them one by one into her sweaty palm. He paused there when she said, "Oh, really? What do you plan to do about it?" Grinning, saying, "Marry you," and putting her last button in her hand. Jane combed the tangles from the crown of her head, remembering his hand bending her forward, and with her brush she smoothed the day's soot from her brow and brushed her scalp's oils the length of her tresses and replayed the evening in her head. In memory, she smoothed over the awkward details, revised the story until she had a romance akin to those she had read. She loosely braided the ends of her hair together. She turned back to her bed, which creaked under her elbows, and she knelt, hands in prayer, and said a simple one, a thank you, a finally. Amen. She blew out her candle and slept, believing they were even. Chapter 7. In the morning when she rose before dawn, she continued to believe. Even as the sun came up, while she heated the house, cleared the chamber pots, fed the animals, and started the Toppins' coffee and breakfast, making more than they could possibly eat. She felt good about the day until Elizabeth showed up in the kitchen in her dressing gown, tears in her swollen eyes as she hovered by the flour-covered counter. Jane looked up at Elizabeth and had only to cock an ear before Elizabeth pursed her lips and her eyelids overflowed. "I don't know what to think about Oramel, Jenny," she said. "It's been more than a week since I heard from him, and I think he may not be interested in courting me anymore." She wrung her hands. Jane heaved a big sigh that looked like sympathy while she thought in her mind, "You are married to him and have been for years. Of course he's not courting you, you stupid woman. Never mind the upcoming holidays that, of course, a deacon's schedule would fill at the end of the year. Never mind that time moves differently for busy minds than idle ones like yours." In Jane's opinion, Oramel was no longer a special man. She remembered his hands, how soft and pallid they were, the long, thin fingers and their clean nails, his soft jaw slowly sagging into jowls that would rest finely on a collar that a servant pressed for.